You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
You know, I just want to minister tonight. We've been teaching for several weeks on Wednesday nights on finding out who you are in Christ, finding out who you are in the Word, finding in the Word where it talks about you. Because you're not what the world says. You're not, you know, what everybody in the situation says and everybody in the world says. You are who God says. The problem is we just don't know what God says. We hadn't looked in it. We hadn't found out. I believe the authority on us is the one who made us.
Yes.
That just makes good sense. And if you want to know about a car, then you look to the maker of the car. You know, they have manuals on that. Those are things that people go to and look at when something goes wrong. Most guys don't know what manuals are. But anyway. Hello. Well, there's a manual for us. There's a manual here for living, and it's God's Word. And so we just went on that, you know, on that logic, that foundation, and talked about Jesus, you know, finding the place where it was written about himself. And then, of course, Abraham, you know, he, against hope, believed in hope that he might become. And then Paul comes along, he says, I am what I am by the grace of God, in 1 Corinthians 15:10. And then John, the first chapter of John gives a record of himself. And he says, I am the one voice crying in the wilderness, as said the prophet Isaiah. Then we just went through Moses and Abraham and Moses and Gideon and David and how they found themselves. And last week we talked about how that getting in the Word and doing the Word causes you to understand and know the Word.
Yeah.
In other words, do the Word and know yourself.
Yeah.
Amen. If you hear the Word and you don't do it, you deceive yourself.
Right.
If you hear the Word and do the Word, then you'll obviously not be deceived.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So this is not connected to that at all, and you're probably wondering why I said all that, and I am too, but I'm just getting started and getting ready and waking y'all up. Everybody have your Bibles?
Yes, sir.
Turn with me to Romans 15, and we'll start there. Hallelujah. Now this is connected. I want to talk to you tonight about the peace of God. Everybody say peace.
Peace.
You know, peace is something that people struggle with, obviously. We struggle with it. You all struggle with it. I've had times where I'm just rattled and scattered, and, you know, and really there's a connection there. If you're scattered, it's hard to have peace when you're scattered. Peace is a focus. Just like faith is a focus, peace is a focus. You know, you've probably heard this, but, you know, when they train lions, you see a lion tamer, you know, he'll take a chair and pick it up. And what he's doing there, sometimes he'll take a stool and pick it up. What he's doing there is real simple, and this is just a fact of nature. People that work with lions know this. That when you pick a chair up or you pick a stool up, you have those four legs sticking out. It confuses the lion. And he doesn't know what to do. And that's why they back up and they growl. You think, well, man, just jump on the trainer and eat him up. You're the one with the teeth and the claws. And you're thinking, the trainer, man, what a knucklehead. Can you believe this guy's doing that? This lion will just devour him. But the lion gets confused because he can't focus on one of the legs. And that's the whole point. That's why they train them that way, and that's why they hold the chairs up. It confuses them, so they don't know what... He'll hold the chair up and crack the whip. The whip's really not as powerful as the chair is. And I think in life it's kind of that way. We have so much going on. We get so scattered, we lose our focus. And when we lose our focus, we get confused and we lose our peace.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I had this happen, I had that. What if one more phone call, one more thing happens? You know what I'm talking about. Man, I just can't believe it. I'm just running ragged. I'm going here and going there. See, we're losing our concentration, our focus. There are always going to be things going on.
That's right.
In life, there are all kinds of four-legged chairs in our face. But really, that's not our problem. I think it's wonderful when you realize who your enemy is. We have an adversary, the devil. It's not your mother-in-law. It's not the bad day you had today. It's not the mood you're in today. It's not the bills, it's not this, it's not all those things. Just keep your focus. If you resist the devil steadfast in the faith, then the Bible says, you know, that you'll win and he'll flee.
Yeah.
See, we get distracted by all these little smoke screens. And then we start, you know, snapping at the legs instead of the guy holding the chair.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Instead of knowing, realizing that, the one holding this chair that's sticking in our face, the one that's coming at us with all these problems, is already a defeated foe.
Yes.
Truth be known, he's already been defeated. Christ defeated him 2,000 years ago. In fact, he's under his feet. He stepped on his head. He's a defeated foe. So what's the problem? Our faith. That's the problem. Our trust in God. Our faith in God. Romans 15. Had you turn there? Let's look at this. Let's put our eyes on this, the whites of our eyes upon it. Romans 15, verse 13. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. I've taught this concerning joy. In fact, I taught a whole series on joy and how joy comes from believing. But notice how it says, may he fill you with joy and peace. How many of you want peace?
Yes.
Oh, man. Goodness. Come on, I want peace. I love peace. How do you get peace in a storm-tossed world? Well, it's real simple. You start believing. You start trusting. You know, the New Living Translation says that he'll fill you with peace as you believe in him. So there's conditions. There's criteria that must be met. I mean, if I'm going to have peace, here's the manual, the instruction book here on how to have peace. And peace comes from getting rid of all my problems. No, it doesn't. It doesn't come from that. Although I believe that if you'll trust God, your problems will disappear one by one. But they'll keep coming. As long as we live in this world, we're going to be challenged. We're going to be in battles. We're going to have struggles because we're not in heaven. Amen? But we can win those battles one by one.
Yes.
Now, peace doesn't come by winning the battles one by one. Peace comes from trusting God.
Right.
The good thing about peace, you can have it while you're still in the battle.
Yeah.
You can have it while you're still struggling. You're going to have it when nothing is lined up yet. Because peace is a state of mind.
That's right.
It's in your head. It's in your mind. You get rattled when your mind gets rattled. You get scattered. You get confused. You start getting back in faith and hearing what God has to say and putting your trust in what God said. All of a sudden, things begin to settle down. It may take a while for them to settle on the outside, but in the inside, it starts out pretty quick. Because he will fill you. Notice what he says. He didn't say he'd surround you. He'd say he'd fill you. He'd fill you. He'd fill you. It's on the inside. Peace in the storm. Peace in the trial. Peace in the trouble. Peace whenever anything's going wrong, when the bullets are flying and you're in the battle. Because you believe, he will fill you with peace and you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Ooh, hallelujah. Now, turn over to, along those same lines, 2 Peter 1. And notice the connection here. 2 Peter, that's right after 1 Peter. 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. 2 Peter 1. First verse says, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, I love that. So who's he talking to? Well, he's talking to us as believers. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us. How? By the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. How many of you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Okay. Because of that, you've been made the righteousness of God. And something else that came with that is like precious faith. So whatever faith Peter had, same faith you have. Can you see that? To those who have obtained, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. I think King James says, through the knowledge of God. I'm reading New King James here. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. See the connection with God's Word. Without God's Word, you can't have a multiplied peace come to you. If you just think about where's confusion, where's getting rattled come from? Through the knowledge of the problem. Through the bad report. And it's multiplied to us the more of the bad reports we hear. Isn't that right? The more tragedies that we look on. The more that we think on. Well, if this happens, that happens, and this happens, and that happens, this happens, that. Boy, you start piling it on. And before long, you've got a four-legged chair here sticking at you. And you can't focus on anything. And there's actually somebody behind all that who is the devil, who has been defeated, who the Bible says we can resist steadfast in the faith. It actually says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he flee from you. James 4:7. So the knowledge of God, when the trial comes, multiplies peace to me.
Yeah.
Knowledge of the problem would multiply confusion. stress. We're too blessed to be stressed.
That's right.
We're too anointed to be disappointed.
Amen.
Amen. But it's a conditional thing. It's connected to God's Word. You can't disconnect from God's Word and have peace. You can't disconnect from His promises or the knowledge of God and get peace. Because if you're going to believe, then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. Romans 10:17. Isn't that true? 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we all have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. 2 Corinthians 4:13 tells us that. And so if I'm going to believe to have peace, because He fills us with joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit, then I have to have something to believe. You know why you get rattled? Because you believe something bad's going to happen. You're believing the problem, believing the bad report. I mean, that's why we get come all to pieces and get stressed out, because we think it's not going to change. We actually believe it's going to stay the same or get worse. So confusion and stress comes from faith in the wrong thing. Peace comes from faith in God's Word. I mean, there's no way around this thing. You can't change the rules all of a sudden and say, well, I don't really need to know what God says, and I don't need to be aware of His promises, and I don't need to know that He'll be there and help me. I can just have peace on my own. No, you can't have peace on your own. Peace comes from God. It comes from Him. So in the midst of the trial, you've got to find out what God says, because, well, it comes through the knowledge of God. Second verse, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So when you hear about a bad economy, what does God have to say? You're not going to get peace listening to all the bad news about the economy. You're not going to get peace listening to all the bad news about your future. You're only going to get peace listening to the good news of God's Word. So we do need to get a hold of it, get it inside of us. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of
knowledge.
Okay. Destroyed. In fact, you do get destroyed. You get stressed out, you just fall quick. Amen. You come all to pieces. Well, you can be held together. Hallelujah. I mentioned this last week. You know, what holds us together is God's Word. In fact, Hebrews, the first chapter, tells us that. It says He holds all things together by the word of His power. And so the reason you're coming all apart is because you need to know what God has to say. Only God's Word holds you together. It'll keep you from coming to pieces. Do what?
Did you say 11:1?
No, Hebrews 1. Yeah, excuse me, Hebrews 1 is where he says that. It starts out, says, you know, the first verse says, God, who at sundry times and divers manners spoken to pass by to our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us in His Son or by His Son. And then he says He's the express image of God's person, upholding all things by the word of His power. Was it the fourth verse? Upholding all things by the word of His power, Hebrews 1 verse. Are you looking? Okay. I'm looking at you. Anyway, it's the Word that holds us together. Holds us together in a, you know, in a big sense, huge sense, keeps us from falling apart naturally, but also keeps us falling apart emotionally. Hallelujah. It keeps the world going. It's the integrity of the world. It's what the integrity of our person, the integrity of our emotions, of our future is based on, the foundation of God's Word. Hallelujah. It'll bring us peace. Is there any part of your life, any piece of your life that you are rattled in, or you're confused in, or you're stressed out about? That's the area of your life. You need to find out what God says, and you need to go into the promises of God and apply them to that area of your life.
Yes.
Then you will have peace about that thing. The peace of God will be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. Not deep. It's really simple. Now, something we hadn't heard over and over and over and over and over and over. Well, did you hear this bad report? Yeah, but I've got another report. Yeah, but did you hear what the doctor said? Well, this is what God says. We're for doctors. Praise God for doctors. We pray for doctors, but we're believing the report of the Lord.
Yes. Yes.
Did you hear about the economy? Well, yeah, I heard all that. I mean, goodness, I'm in the world. I may not be of it, but I'm in it. Of course, I hear all those things, but I also know the Word hadn't changed.
That's right.
As long as I keep my focus on Him and my trust in Him, as I trust Him, then peace will come. In fact, Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed, fixed, and focused on Him.
Yes, yes.
For he trusteth in Him.
Yeah.
Woo!
That's good.
You want perfect peace? Peace in the storm? Peace in the turmoil? Peace in the trial? Peace when the bullets are flying? Well, keep your mind focused here now. Let's keep it fixed. If you keep your mind stayed fixed and focused on Him, He'll keep you in perfect peace. Hallelujah. I mean, and this is a pattern or a principle that you see all through the Word. In fact, Psalms 119, turn there. Psalms 119. In fact, let's just read the whole Psalm. No, you really don't have time to do that. It'd be good. Psalms 119. Get this. 119, verse 165. Boy, that's a long psalm, isn't it? It's actually 176 verses. So Psalms 119, and incidentally, if you read Psalms 119, great psalm. He constantly talks about the power of God's Word. He constantly talks about what God's Word will do for you and how you trust in God's Word. And the entrance of His Word gives light, gives understanding to the simple. Psalms 119, verse 130. Verse 105 tells us that His Word is a light to our path, a lamp to our feet. The 11th verse, 119th verse says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." I mean, it's just full of trusting the Word, believing the Word, standing on the Word of God. Hallelujah. Yes. That the Word of God's a light, and it's a protection against sin, and it gives me understanding and wisdom. And here in verse 165, it says, "Great peace have those who love your law."
Yeah.
Love His Word, love His commands. And nothing causes them to stumble. They don't get rattled. They don't get confused. They don't get shaken. And hello. They don't stumble. Why? Because they love His law. And loving God's Word and His law and finding out what God says, the knowledge of God, and trusting in God's Word brings great peace. Great peace. Great peace have they or those who love your law. You know, if you love God's Word, you always want to stay close to, hold on to, and treasure something that you love. I mean, come on. I mean, I love Brenda. When I go off, I'm away from Brenda for a while. I miss her. I want to get back to Brenda. I want to talk to her on the phone. I want to come back and see her. I want to hold her and hug her and kiss her and love her because I love her so much. I love her. I want to be around her.
Yeah.
I look forward to being around her. Are you with me? See, if we love the Word, now this is what's so good. If you follow, it's not just a formula. It's not just a principle. It is a principle. It is a formula, but it's beyond it. It's more than that. It's a relationship. Once you love God, you love His Word. You want to be around His Word. You don't want to get too far away from it. You talk about it all the time.
Right. Right.
Good. Man, when Brenda first started dating, I would just write, "I love Brenda. I love Brenda. I love Brenda." I'd write on everything. I do carpenter work and write it on boards. You know, I love Brenda. Hello. You know why? Because I loved her. This is deep now. Now, if you love God's Word, you can't stop thinking about it. You can't stop talking about it.
That's right.
So when the problem comes, and the crisis hits, and the bad news comes, you love His Word. You can't stop talking about His Word. Oh, hallelujah. In fact, you know, loving Brenda, you know, I'm not alone when I'm around her. I don't feel lonely and empty when I'm around, because I love her. She fills that void in me. Well, I'm not hopeless and empty when a tragedy hits, because I'm with God and I have His Word, and it fills that void. He fills me with peace through my believing. Connected to my love of what He has to say, who He is, His Word. Great peace have those who love your law.
Yeah.
You know, Jeremiah said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and the rejoicing of my heart." I mean, he was hungry for the Word. Amen. "I found them, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and the rejoicing of my heart." So, great peace have those that love your law. And nothing causes them to stumble. Where does great peace come from? Let's just go over again. Thank you. I'm repetitive, I know, and I'm saying it over and over and over in several different ways, but every scripture really is saying the same thing.
Yes.
Think about it. Different authors, different books, different verses, yet they're all saying the same thing. Peace comes from God's Word.
That's right.
You'd think we'd finally get this after a while. Wouldn't you? Man, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just so rattled. I'm so confused. I'm so stressed out. Hey, I know what. Go over to here to the Word. Find out what God says in His Word.
Yeah.
There is hope for you. He gives help to the hopeless.
Yeah.
Amen. All right, we'll turn over to Proverbs 3. We're just perusing through the Scriptures here. Proverbs 3. And goodness, you know, I challenge you to do this. If you have a concordance, just look up the word peace and just go over the Scriptures that talk about peace. You know, Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, it's not a very expensive book. You can get it in bookstores very inexpensively. It's real simple. You just look up a word and you flip the pages and find that word, and they'll give you every Scripture in the Bible that has that word in it. I mean, it's the most useful tool you can get. I'd recommend it if you've got anything beyond the Bible. Once you've got the Bible, a good Bible help would be a concordance. And Strong's Exalted is a great concordance. Now, if you're going through a trial and maybe it's sickness and disease, find out what God says about healing. Look up the word healing or health or healed or healer. Look it up. Do a search. Go in there and look at and get those Scriptures and fall in love with them.
Yes, that's good.
You love Jesus? Well, this is His Word. You love God? This is His Word. Fall in love with it. And fill yourself with that report. You've read this other report. You've read the bill. Hello. You've read the doctor's report, whatever the case may be. You've heard the news on TV or radio or newspaper or whatever. But have you heard what God has to say? I mean, go in there and find out. Get a concordance. Find out what it is that you need. Hello. Look up the word peace. Look up the word healing. Look up the word joy, if that's the case. Marriage, wedding, hello. Those words that have to do with your situation. And find out what God's Word says, and then fall in love with it. Get to where you can't do anything but talk about it. Get to the point where you just have to embrace it and tell everybody about what the Word of God says about that situation.
Yeah.
Great peace have those that love thy law. If you will fall in love with quoting the Bible when a situation arises, if you will fall in love with leaning toward looking at, embracing, and talking about what God says about a tragedy or a crisis or a battle that you're going through, according to God's Word, if you'll do that, you'll have great peace.
Yes.
When everybody else is falling to pieces.
That's
Amen?
Right.
But it's a love, and it's a lifestyle. It's a habit. Good habit. It's a discipline. It's a good discipline. Proverbs 3, found it?
Yes.
Okay. Notice what it says here. It says first verse. My son, do not forget my law. Now you could just replace that with Scripture, the Word, what the Bible says. But let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Now think about this. If I lost peace about a situation, more than likely, I have forgotten what God said. My son, forget not. I could tell you about the situation, but all of a sudden I've forgotten what the Bible says. And I'm not talking what the Bible says. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. They what? They what? His words, His commands, His law, His word. His word will add peace to us. I like this. Length of days, too, and long life.
Yes.
I can live longer with the word. Amen?
That's right.
I mean, there's all kinds of vitamins you take and all kinds of, you know, I mean, it seems like every year they come up with something new. Some new thing you can take that'll lengthen your life, antioxidants and whatever. And I think that's great. I think we ought to use wisdom in what we eat and exercise and our weight and all those things. I think that's very important. I understand that. But have we forgotten the most important thing here? I think we have in some cases. And if you want to live long and prosper, as Spock says, then you want to get a hold or a good diet of God's Word. Because if you don't forget His Word and you keep His commands, then length of days, long life, and peace, they will add to you. Woohoo! Still connected to the Word, amen. We started out there in Romans 15:13, talking about you know, God filling you with all joy and peace in believing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Ghost. In believing, peace. God fills you with peace. And then Peter said, that grace and peace would be multiplied. This is 2 Peter 1, verse 2. That grace and peace would be multiplied through the knowledge of God. Through the knowledge of God. See that? Psalms 119, 165, we just read, great peace have they that love thy law. Oh man, that's good, isn't it? Woohoo! And then right over here he says in Proverbs 3, 1 and 2, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands, for a length of days, long life, and peace they will add to thee. These are not just any words. You don't get this from a newspaper. You can't get this kind of benefit from a book. But this is God's Word. And when you mix it with faith, I think that's the ingredient missing here, obviously. When you mix it with faith, oh wow, man, it's good stuff. It actually produces peace in you. It fills you with peace. Now without faith, it's not real edible, not real palatable, doesn't do as much good. You know, Hebrews 4:2 says, the word preached did not profit them, those in the children of wilderness, children in the wilderness that perished in the wilderness. You know, in the book of Numbers, and at Kadesh Barnea, Numbers 13, where the 10 spies came back with a bad report and two with the good. The children of Israel believed the bad report and didn't believe the good report. And so they had a pity party and cried all night long. They partied, but they had a pity party. Mm-hmm. Cried all night long. And you know what? They didn't get to enter the land of Canaan. Why? Why did they miss out? Because they didn't put their faith in the right report. They didn't put their faith in what God said. They put their faith in what man had said, which it was opposite of what God said. And it says in that fourth chapter of Hebrews, second verse, it says, the word preached to them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it.
Yeah. Wow.
Get it? So this word will only work if we mix faith in with it. In believing, we activate the ingredients. You know, I could put a table out here, and I could put a pile of flour over here, put another pile of sugar over here, break up a bunch of eggs in a bowl right here. Hello. That's about as far as I can go with it. I don't know what else is in it, but anyway. And I come up here, y'all come up here and eat this flour. Well, we wouldn't get very far with that, would we? I mean, we'd just be all caked in white flour, you know, and everybody'd be spitting and sputtering, and you couldn't get it. Well, come on up here and eat some of these eggs, you know. Man, you get, you know, little raw eggs and yolks, and yeah, oh, man, I mean, how many of those could you eat? Well, you like sweets? Well, come over and eat some of this sugar. Well, how far do you think that's going to go? Handful of, oh, God, you know, I mean, come on, man. You'd walk away and say, man, you are crazy. I can't eat all that stuff. But we can eat all that stuff. If we mix it all together.
Yeah.
Mix it all together, we got a cake. Probably got some other things in it. But not being a cook, I don't know what else is in the thing, okay? I know that much is in it, and you mix it all together, and voila, it's magic, cake appears, and I'm telling you what, I can eat a cake. Flour's no good unless you mix it with the right ingredients.
Yeah.
Sugars can't eat unless you mix it with something. How about salt? Come on, man. How much salt can you eat without being mixed with something, you know? Now, God's Word's that way. You see, it's really kind of like flour. You just can't really eat. But you mix faith with it, all of a sudden, it just tastes so good. Ooh. Now, if you don't believe it, it's hard to eat. Very hard to swallow. You often hear people say that. I hear all that. Yeah, I can't swallow that. I can't swallow that. You hear them say that? I'm not about to swallow that. Can't eat it. Why? They don't believe it. If you don't believe it, you're not going to swallow it.
That's right.
I've heard lots of things I don't believe, and rightly so. I think there's a healthy skepticism about what we hear, but we shouldn't be that skeptical about God's Word. This is God's Word. We ought to believe it. But there are a lot of things I hear that I just can't swallow. Why? I don't believe it. And you're only going to swallow what you believe. Isn't that right? You'll benefit from God's Word if you'll believe God's Word. The Word did not profit them or benefit them. Hebrews 4:2. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You know, I shared a story one time about somebody that had invited some people over to their house and made a lemon pie. And it was somebody in our church invited somebody else in our church over to their house to have lemon pie. And I like lemon pie. I like any kind of pie, really. But anyway, what had happened was she had forgot to put sugar in the pie. Anybody had lemon pie with sugar? It's kind of tasty anyway. You know, that lemon in there. Can you imagine eating lemon pie without sugar in it? That's a true story. Jason, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, Jason knows the true story. It's his mama. But anyway. You remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, what happened, you might say, is the lemon pie did not profit them not being mixed with sugar in them that ate it. Wouldn't you say? It didn't do any good. Nobody profited from the lemon pie. One bite and it's over. That's it. But there was no sugar mixed in with it. And we had to mix faith in with God's word for it to work. Amen. Isaiah 48. Turn there if you will. Man. Ought to come to the table with some faith. Amen. What you come to the table with is going to turn what you leave the table with. Isaiah 40. I love this passage of Scripture. I quote this often. Isaiah 48, verse... I want to see how far back I want to go. Let's just start 17. I don't have time to go all that. 17th verse. Isaiah 48, verse 17. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit. I like that. You know, God does teach us to profit. He teaches us to go over. He doesn't teach us to go under. He doesn't teach us to lose it. He teaches us to gain and teaches us to win and teaches us to go to heaven and teaches us to love and forgive and, you know, and live a good life. I've come that you might have life, Jesus said, that you might have it more abundantly. There's pain in this life, I understand that. And there's failure in this life, I understand that. We're not in heaven, I understand that. But see, if we'll listen to God, we'll win a whole lot more if we lose. We'll gain a whole lot more if we lose. Amen? God will teach us to profit. Without Him, we can't profit. Without Him, we're not going to profit. We're not going to win. And we can learn to lose without the Lord. You don't need the Lord to learn how to make a mess of your life. You can mess your life up real good without Jesus. But if you want to fix your life and you want to profit in life, then God's the one that teaches us to profit. Amen? Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. I like that. He leads us in the right way, in the right path. He gives us instruction. You know, I was thinking about this. I taught on David Goliath not too long ago, a couple weeks ago. How that, you know, in the battles of life and the struggles of life, we're all in it. You can't default. You can't opt out. You can't say, I'm not going to do it. No, you're in it. You're in it. We're all in it. Okay? And I think about David. His brothers were in the battle. There was a battle going on between the Philistines and the Israelites. And when he showed up in 1 Samuel 17, where he fought Goliath, you know, he showed up there. His brothers were in it. They were in it. Eliab, the oldest, and two of his other brothers were there. They were in the fight. The Israelites were in the fight. They were in it. And Saul, the king, he was in the fight too. He'd been there for 40 days, the Bible tells us. Listen to Goliath challenge them. So there's David's brothers are in it, and the Israelites were in it, and Saul was in it. But David comes along, and David's not just in it. He's in it to win it.
Yeah.
Now you can say, well, I'm just in it, and I'm just fighting a fight. Well, why you want to just fight the fight? Why don't you win the fight?
That's good, yes.
Bill Russell, you know, he was a basketball player for the Boston Celtics. Man, awesome basketball player. He made this statement, and they actually put this statement over the locker room of the Phoenix Suns basketball team, where they all walk in, they see this, and I'm going to chop it up here because I don't remember exactly how it goes, but it goes something like this. It says, we've got to play a game tonight. We might as well win it. Man, that's good, isn't it? So we got to struggle. Sure, there's going to be struggles. We're going to have to fight. You can't get out of that. Everybody's got to fight. Everybody's got to battle. We're in it, and we can't. There's no way to get out. You know what? Let's don't just fight. Let's don't just run the race. Let's run the race to win. Let's run it for the prize of the high calling, like Paul said. I'm stretching. I'm going. I'm pressing. I'm pushing for the high prize here. I don't want to just fight this fight. I want to win this fight. I don't want to just fight this cancer. I don't want to just fight this infection supposedly in the brain. Talking about Travis. Travis, my goodness, He's had a kidney transplant and a pancreas transplant, and I don't know how many times he's been in the hospital, and now they come along with this. You'd think at one point you'd just say, give it up, man. No, 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 we're not giving up. We're going to win. Again. Here we go again. Yeah, here we win again. We're going to fight. We're going to win. How can you be so sure? What gives you so much peace, man? When are you going to finally quit? Not going to quit till we win. We have peace because we know what God says. God's word has not changed. No matter how many times you've been on in the battle, no matter how many onslaughts you've had or oppositions you've had or how many trials you have or how many times it's happened or you're just getting a little too old for this. Hear that one? Oh, come on, quit that, man. You're smarter now than you've ever been. You're tougher now than you've ever been. You've been through more victories now than you've ever been. You don't want to quit now. I know more now than I ever know. I remember Lester Sumner on this. He was turning 75. This was years ago. He was preaching down in Victoria. And I was preaching down there, but not on the same ticket. I was preaching the next night in the same church, but we weren't booked together. I was down there because of Gary Upham, a good friend of mine. And Lester was preaching on Tuesday night. And I was preaching on Wednesday night. And he turned 75 at that time. And, of course, Lester's gone on to be with the Lord. This has been years ago. And he made the statement from the pulpit. I got so tickled. Well, people ask me when I'm going to retire. You have to know Lester. He's real bold, you know. You're 75, when you're going to retire? I just tell him I'm 75 years old. I just now figured out what I'm doing, what I want to quit now for. And he went on and preached his message. I thought, man, come on, you want to quit now? You know so much now? You prayed so much? You've been through so many victories? Why quit now?
Right.
Hallelujah. Okay, 48 chapter. God teaches us to profit, amen? And He leads us the way, by the way, that we should go. That 17th verse, 48 chapter. Notice the 18th verse. Oh, that you had heeded my commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. The Amplified says your peace and prosperity would have been like a river. Like a river gushing and flowing of peace in the trial. Where does that come from? Oh, that you had hearkened or heeded my commandments. Where does peace come from? The Word again. It comes from the Word. It comes from doing what God says and believing what God says and acting on what God says and hearkening and heeding. Obeying, acting on God's Word. One more. Can I do one more?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Isaiah 54. Turn there. Man. Got to love this stuff. Goodness. I'm still looking. There's some other things I'm looking at here while I'm at this. Yeah, I'll read that one verse, and I got to read another one. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Isaiah 54, notice the 13th verse. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children.
Yeah.
Well, why are they going to have so much peace? Because they're going to be taught by the Lord.
Yes.
They're going to know His Word.
Yes.
And when you know His Word, you'll have great peace.
Yes.
Isn't that right? I mean, it's like full circle. We just talked about, you know, the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Now, first of all, where does peace come from? God. God will fill you with peace through believing. Practically, step by step, if you walk it out, it comes from God through His Word as you believe it. Amen? I mean, if you're going to break it down, that's what He's saying. Because it's through 2 Peter 1:2, we read there, grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge of God. Through the knowledge. The knowledge of God is multiplies the peace and the favor. Grace means favor. The favor of God to us. And, you know, great peace have those that love Thy law. And His commandments add length of life and peace to us. Hallelujah. And if we'd hearken to His commandments, well, our peace be like a river. And great peace, your children will have peace because they're taught of the Lord. Because you'll know what He has to say about it. You're not just limited to the world or limited to your five senses or limited to your intelligence or lack thereof. Yeah, think about that one. We're not limited to that. We have God's Word. We have other information concerning this situation. And if you follow that on through, that 54th chapter, notice what that 17th verse says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises up against you in judgment, you condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord." Man, that's good stuff, isn't it? And like I say, there's so many other verses you can get into and look into. We just have time to get to all of them. We'd just be here all night and all day and all next week. I mean, I quoted a few. You know, Isaiah 26:3 is an awesome one. I love that. You know, "Thou keep in perfect peace, his mind stayed on thee." Awesome. Philippians 4:6 is another great one. It says, "Be careful, fretful, or anxious for nothing, worried for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus." Hallelujah. Isn't that good? And then he tells you to think on these things. Whatsoever pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. "And those things which you have learned and seen in me, do," Paul said, "and the God of peace shall be with you." So it's what you think on, what you meditate on, the words. What's peace is an inside thing. It's an inside job. Okay, it's not what's going on outside. "Well, you don't know what I'm going through." Well, that doesn't have anything to do with peace. Peace has to do with what's going on the inside of you. And if the Word of God's going on the inside of you, you can have peace. Great peace. Like a river. Isn't that what it says? So have peace? How do you have peace in troublous times? Well, you just stay in the Word. Keep the Word in you. Amen. Yeah.